doing this morning, and for the next 5 weeks, please God, is continuing the series that Shane Del Fink started, I believe she spoke in December, the Facets series. And the Facets series was a series that Shane Del and I divided into 10 parts. Really, it was 13 midos of Rav Yisrael Salanter. Good morning. The 13 midos of Rav Yisrael Salanter. Rav Yisrael Salanter lived about 250 years ago. He lived in Europe, and he is the forerunner, the father of what we call the Musar movement. The Musar movement is a movement to refine and perfect our characters, and really, if you think about it, the reason for that is because Hashem is perfect. And in any relationship, as everybody will tell you, right, it's fun to have friends from, you know, different walks of life and different types, but the friends who you grew up the most similar to them, or share the most history with them, or, right, and a spouse, the more similar the two parts of a relationship are, the stronger that relationship is. That's just how it goes. The more similar, and we are so dissimilar to Hashem, because He is so perfect, and we're so far away from that. But the more we refine ourselves, the closer we come to Him by nature. It's an automatic thing. If we refine ourselves, we come closer to Hashem. And that's the purpose of the Musar movement and the purpose of this series, to refine ourselves and become the people that Hashem knows we could be in order to come closer to Him and really to everybody we come in contact with. And that's the idea of the Musar movement. Rav Yisrael Salanter did not make any money for being the head of this movement. In fact, he probably made no money whatsoever. And he probably lived a life of poverty. Not probably, for sure. And there was no honor for him in this. His entire motivation was completely selfless. All he wanted was to share the wisdom and to make a movement, which really today, I mean, it's worldwide. In every yeshiva, they have Musar Seder, which means for a minimum of 10 minutes to a maximum of endless hours a day, that they learn inside different svarim, different books, based on refining our character traits and becoming the best people we could be. In the book, the classic Musar Sefer of the Mesilas Yesharim, the Path of the Just, which is by the Ramchal, he says in his introduction famously that he's not sharing anything you don't know. He's not telling you anything new that you couldn't have written yourself. He's just reminding us of the truth. And that's really what the Facet series is. I'm not going to say today anything you don't know. We're just going to share and talk about ideas that it resonates with us. It's inherently valuable. So the ones that Shane has already done, she talked about the idea of truth and integrity, about alacrity, zerizos, and charitzos, perseverance. She talked about menucha, like having a state of calm and presence in all our life. She talked about seder v'nikayon, order and cleanliness. And she talked about shesika, silence. Whenever I'm going to have a difficult interaction with somebody, I re-listen to her talk. It's in my car on silence. I've listened to it like 4 times, and I encourage you, I'm sure all of these are on the partner's website, and I encourage you to listen to her classes that she has on these things. And then we, over the next 5 weeks, are going to do, she covered 7 of the 13, and we're going to do the next 6. So today is the most difficult one, I think, to hear, is kimutz, which is literally translated as thrift, but we translate it as appreciation. Next week, we're going to do tzedek, or justice and righteousness. Then we're going to do kavod, dignity, anava, humility, savlanus and nachas, patience and gentleness. Patience and nachas. It's hard to translate that word. Okay, kimutz. What is kimutz? Kimutz, literally, in the temple, when they wanted to make a certain measurement called a kmitza, when they needed to take a kmitza of flour, they would take these two middle fingers and they would put them, they would go into the flour and take, and whatever came in there was called a kmitza. Okay, that's where the word comes from. Kimutz means that little bit of flour that could fit between those two fingers. But Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, everything I ever do is always dedicated to my father, Moshe Eliyahu ben Rav Eliyakim HaKohen, and my uncle, Elimelech Leib ben Eliyakim HaKohen. This week is my Zaidi, Mr. Manny Middleman's first Yahrzeit. And so this class and everything we're going to learn and talk about and take out of here today is dedicated Le'ilo Nishmas, my grandfather, Pinchas Elimelech ben Yaakov Shmuel. And then it's also Avram Leib ben Shlomo's Yahrzeit today, Mrs. Berg's late husband, and the class is also dedicated in his memory and Le'ilo Nishmaso. Okay, sorry, now we get started. So, Kimatz, according to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, is Shalo Lahotzi Pruta Shalo Letzorach. Not to use one penny unnecessarily. This is such a hard thing. I'm talking to wiser people than, let's say, 7th grade girls or 9th grade girls, right? But in American society, we have a very hard time wrapping our head around this midah. The idea of not wasting anything, the idea of not using anything, the billions and billions of dollars worth of food that are wasted every single year in this country is unprecedented in world history. It's unprecedented. This never happened, what happens today in America, the billions of dollars of food that is thrown out. Okay, so we absorb from our host culture, like, I don't need that anymore, okay? And we throw it out. And the midah of kimatz is shalo lahotzi pruta l'shalo l'tzorach. And it could sound like stinginess, this midah. Like, it could sound like, okay, you don't have to, like, keep that one scallion that's good and the bunch that's rotten. Just throw the whole thing away and go get yourself some new scallions, right? Like, what are you going to do? Pick out the one good one from the moldy ones and, like, right? It sounds like a stingy midah. It's hard to wrap our heads around this midah. This midah is first taught to us in the Torah by Yaakov Avinu, by Jacob, our patriarch, our forefather. It says in Genesis 32, verse 33, by Yaakov Balayla, who? And Jacob is crossing his family. He's leaving Laban's house, and he's preparing for an encounter with his arch nemesis, Esav. And as he crosses his family over the Yabok River, he realizes he forgot some small jars on the other side of the river. Okay? And it's in the middle of the night. He's laying in bed, all his family sleeping. They're all in tents. He has a big family already. He has 11 children, Kanina Hart, really 12 because of Dina. And Binyamin's not born yet. He has his whole family. He is incredibly wealthy. He is mind-blowingly wealthy. Okay? He's incredibly, incredibly wealthy. He's lying in bed and he thinks to himself, I left those little jars, those little mason jars that I had, pachim ketanim, the Torah tells us, on the other side of the river. So it says, Vayikach eshtei nasha veshtei shevchosa veshach acharasar yolada vayavar as mavar yavob. Vayikachim vayavirim as hanacha vayavar as asher lo. He schleps everything across this river. I mean, could you imagine, like, in the days of, I mean, I don't even know if he had a wagon, really. Okay? That would have been, like, you know, state of the art for him. Vayivasar Yaakov levado. And then he ends up alone. His whole family's on one side, via Aveg Ishimo, and this is the famous encounter between him and the angel of Esav that he fights with and gets hurt in his thigh bone, okay? And he fights until dawn. Rashi explains why he's alone. He says, Shachach Pachim Ketanim. He forgot little jars. V'chazar aleim, and he went back to get them. So it sounds like, are you serious? We're not in the shtetl anymore. You're a wealthy person. You're putting your life at risk. He literally put his life at risk because he went back and he met this angel who tries to kill him. He doesn't know it's an angel. He thinks it's a man, right? And for what? For pachim ketanim? Okay, so forget the jars. You'll stop at the dollar store at the place that you're getting to and you'll get some new jars, right? Like, what's the problem? Rashi explains why. Mikan, from this encounter that we see Yaakov going back and risking his life to get these pachim ketanim, these small jars, shetzadikim chasis al mamonam, that tzadikim, that righteous people are very, very careful with their money, shelo yishlechu yideyim begezel, and so that they shouldn't ever let their hands come near theft. So we learn two funny things here. They're very, very careful, even about small jars. It sounds like they're, like, stingy and petty and misery. That's what it sounds like, right? And they are very, very careful with their money so that they shouldn't come to stealing. Okay? What does stealing have to do with that? The Gemara explains even more. The Gemara says, "Vayivaser Yaakov Avado." This is in the Talmud in Chulin on page 91 on Amid Aleph. Amar Belazar. Elazar says, "Shenisiaser al pachin katanim." The reason why he was there was because he was worried about these little small jars. Mikan, and from here we learn shetzadikim chavav aleihem mamona, that righteous people love their money. Their money is extremely precious to them. Yoser migufam, even more important than their bodies. Okay, what is this going? V'kalkach lama, and why? Lefi she'em poshtin yuzayim begezel, because they would never steal. What is going on here? What does stealing have to do with being thrifty? What does stealing have to do with keeping your money precious? Why is it that righteous people think that their money is so precious? And it's telling us in praise of Jacob all these things, even though it sounds like it's a gnai. It sounds like it's like embarrassing for him a little bit. Like, really? Like, come on, get over yourself, right? It sounds funny. What's going on? So it's a very interesting thing, right? When we look at money and we value, I've heard this so many times from the different people that have taught me in my life. When people say, "Ach, it's just a dollar," don't bend down to, don't stoop yourself, you know, those people will never be wealthy. People who value a penny, who bend down for a penny, my Zadie always used to stop and bend down for a penny, okay? And he would yell at us if we wouldn't. He would yell at us if we wouldn't. Why? Two things. Number one, tzaddikim realize this, none of this is coming from me. You think I made this penny? You think that penny just happens to be there? Every single thing is from Hashem. If I have this dollar, it's from Hashem. If I have this jar, it's from Hashem. If I have this house, if I have this job, I have this car, whatever I have, it's a gift from Hashem to use. To use. And it's not my job to say, I don't need those jars. I'll stop at the next dollar store and pick some up. Hashem gave me those jars. I don't know why he gave them to me, but clearly for a purpose. I better go back and get them. The reason why chavav aleihem mamonim, not because they're miserly and they care about their money, they're so generous. But they know that their money is not theirs to fargin, to lose, to be wasteful of. Their money was given to them almost like it's not theirs, right? The same way if I'm someone's gabbai, let's say a wealthy person would think I'm good with money. I'm not. They should not give it to me. And they would say, Sarah Lisa, you be in charge of deciding which solicitors get this amount. It's not for me to decide, and this one gets this, and this one gets this. I have to think, what does my balabayas want? Does he care more about children's education, and I should give more money to those people? Or does he care more about the poor people in Israel? Should I give more to the... It's not my discretion of what to do with this. It's not mine. Yaakov understood, those jars aren't mine. Hashem gave them to me. I have to tell him what I did with them when I die. I have to explain to him. I can't say, I forgot those. Right? He can't do that. So chavim aleihem mamonim and chasis al mamonim, because it's not theirs. They look at it as, I am the gabbai of this tzedakah. I am the one that was trusted with this, whatever it is, money, item, riches, and I have to account for it. I have to tell Hashem what I did with it. That's one part of this. The other part of this is the stealing part of it. Okay? We live in a society that does not value the little things in general. That's why this midah is so hard to explain. So what happens if someone comes over and they just take a pen off a random desk, right? Let's say someone's in school and they take a pen off and they just start writing with a pen. That's stealing. It's someone else's ink. But we don't value that in our society. We are like, oh, come on. It's not even a penny. It's not even a... People who would steal a penny would also steal $1 million. It's the same thing. There's no difference. It's stealing. And that's what Yaakov understood. Stealing a penny and stealing $1 million, it doesn't go by amounts. It goes by the action itself. There's no such thing as a little wrong and a lot wrong in terms of the action. It's on the same spectrum. And I wouldn't steal a penny, and I wouldn't steal $1 million. And that's what the Gemara is teaching us, that when you value little things, you don't come to stealing. You don't come to saying, okay, it's fine if I'll just take it for, you know, I'll just borrow this. They won't care. They won't mind. Right? A Hershey kiss on her bed. She won't mind if I take my roommate's chocolate, right? It's a Hershey kiss. What's the big deal, right? Like, people who value their things, they don't come to steal because they understand that there's no difference between stealing a little and stealing a lot. It's all the same stealing. And that's a big yisod that we have to walk away with. That's a big foundation of Yiddishkeit, that's part of what this mitzvah, what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter wants us to learn. And that is, we can't say, look, this guy killed one person, and this guy killed a million people. The guy who killed, I'm not saying the collateral debt, but they're both murderers, according to the Torah. We can't say he's not so bad. It's the same thing. The magnitude was much worse, and obviously, what kind of crazy person is he that he killed a million people? You know what I'm saying? Killing one person, that's already like a madriga, you know, like a level. But to kill that many people, okay, you're already, like they say, a serial killer, right? So, but the Torah is trying to teach us, don't minimize it just because it was a little bit. And that's where the gezel comes in. That's where the idea of stealing comes in. Okay. When a person has the midah of kimitzah, isn't a difference between a dollar and $1 million. They're both gifts from Hashem, and they're meant to be used in His service. And that's the idea. So the first part of this midah is to walk away and realize, start looking at all the things that you have. Start looking at all the things you have. That little knick-knack in your house, the roll of toilet paper, the box of tissues, the toothpicks. These are all gifts from Hashem. They're all gifts from Hashem. If it's in your house, it made it there because Hashem gave it to you. And how are we going to use it? How does this work in real time? So, Mommy, I don't want to embarrass you publicly, but I will. Okay, I'm just joking. So I go to my mother's house one year to help my mother clean for Pesach. So we dump out the drawer, and I dump out the drawer, and I say, okay, I'm start throwing things away. And my mother's like, no. And she takes, Sarlisa, look at this wire. I could use this wire to close up a bag of noodles that's going to make a mess in my cabinet. Don't throw it away. Leave it in the drawer. No. That empty thing, look, it's so perfect. It's so little. Let's say somebody has a few pennies. Maybe I'll give it to one of my grandchildren, and they'll collect their pennies in it, right? I remember one time watching my mother take Vaseline out of a Vaseline. You know those, like, Vaseline containers that you buy, right? Does anybody ever finish them? I don't know anybody in the history of the world except for one person, my mother. Okay, she takes her little Q-tip and she runs. I could still probably get one more use out of this before I open my new one. I could still probably get one more use out of it before I open my new one. The moisturizer, it's like completely empty. Like there's nothing in there. And the Q-tip went around, right? The Tide, right? Fill it with water until there's no more blue coming out, right? That's the midah of kibbutz. Appreciating, don't throw away that. There's probably still a little more soap in that. Fill the Dawn container with water till there's no bubbles left coming out of it, right? So why are so many of you nodding? Because you appreciate this midah, because many of you have parents, or you yourself have absorbed this, right? Exactly. But it's so important in America that when I tell this to younger kids, they don't even have a place in their brain for this to land. Okay, where do they learn this from? I go to my grandparents' house. Okay, I remember I was with my Zadie in Eretz Yisrael. He came to visit me when I was in seminary. He said, Lulu, bring me some toothpicks. By the way, I chose this mitzvah on purpose because I knew my Zadie's mitzvah was Yartza. It was this week when I saw the calendar. I chose it on purpose. So I go and I bring him some toothpicks, and he yelled at me. I said, why, Zadie? Why are you yelling at me? He goes, first of all, it's a schuss to be yelled at by my Zadie. But he said, because I wanted one toothpick to clean my... He said, bring me a toothpick, and I brought him three. And I wasted two toothpicks. He didn't need three. And now I touched them, so we can't give them back to the restaurant where we are at, because I wasted them. I remember it like I'm like this 18-year-old American kid. Like, I have no idea what you're talking about, Zadie. I wasted two toothpicks. Like, I didn't have a sentence in my mind that had a translation for what that meant. What does that mean, you wasted two toothpicks? I remember he asked me, I was with him for a week, bring me a tissue. And I brought him three tissues. And he yelled at me on the two tissues I wasted. What are you doing wasting Lulu, I told you to bring me a tissue, not three tissues. What are you doing? And I remember it took me so long to realize, right? How many times did my Zadie walk in the house and yell at us as he turned off all the lights, right? What are you wasting electricity for, right? Because he appreciated that the toothpicks were from Hashem, that the tissues were from Hashem, that the electricity was from Hashem. And it's not mine to waste. It's not. Okay, I went with my husband. We were walking in Oak Park, and I went to visit the Abrams. Mr. and Mrs. Hillel and Ethel Abrams. You see old-fashioned coffee jars on their table that have not been produced for over 20 years, okay? And they're holding something else. Okay? And then bubble wrap, and I'm like, oh, Mrs. Abrams, what are you doing with all this bubble wrap? She goes, I don't know yet. It's like, it came in a package, and she wasn't. Now, these are not hoarders. That's not what I'm talking about. Their houses are neat and clean. My grandparents' house is neat as a pin. My mother's house is neat as a pin. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about use every little drop. Don't waste. Don't throw it away. If Hashem gave it to you, even in tiny amounts, it's a gift. And if you could still get more Dawn out of it, your dish soap holder, and still get more Tide out of it, then fill it with water, and until there's nothing colorful coming out, you use it. And then you can recycle it, either in the recycle bin, or you could actually use the Tide container to water the flowers. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could do so many things, right? They're not hoarders. I want to contrast that with today, like Javi just said, it's a generational thing. My two big boys, okay, Baruch Hashem, you know, they're getting close to Shidduchim, so I'm not going to say anything bad about them. They're terrific. But my two little boys are really good at cleaning for Pesach, okay? If you hear anything, you know, about, you know, anyone else maybe not being so good at cleaning for Pesach, they're good at cleaning the car. So, the two older ones. But my two little ones are very good at cleaning for Pesach. It's a geschicktkeit. They know how to dump out a drawer, wipe out the drawer, sort everything in the drawer. So one year, I'm going through the garbage that came out of their room. And like, all the expensive Playmobil that I bought for them in the last 4 years is in that bag. I'm like, is this the garbage bag? They're like, yes. I'm like, why is it garbage? They're like, we haven't played for it for a few weeks. I was like, okay, 1 second. It's okay if you don't love it right now, but this is actually really, really nice. Like, we could even save it for the grandchildren, or we could give it away to somebody who would appreciate it, but this is not called garbage. Like, literally, it was with, like, the scrapped up pieces of paper and the granola bars that were going in the garbage, like the real hummus. Like, right? I can't even picture someone in the last generation doing that. Like, taking Playmobil. Do you know how expensive and special Playmobil is, right? It's like a Hanukkah present or a birthday present, right? But it really, it's not in the culture, although it is in their DNA, so we could develop it. Okay, this is actually the mitzvah not to waste. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, Baal Tashlis, not to waste, not to throw things away. It's actually one of the 613 mitzvahs. Today I opened my garbage and I saw two apples. A red apple and a green apple in the garbage. Someone must have had it for snack for the last few days. They were perfectly whole, clean apples. You don't want to eat them? No problem. Let's wash them. I'll make apple cobbler with it. I'll do something. But we're not throwing away food. My husband said it kills him. He like goes to the garbage in Beis Yehuda and he sees like whole sandwiches, you know, and the kid's calling his, you know, comes to the office and says, I don't have a lunch, because they give you tradition soup if you say you don't have a lunch. So what kid doesn't want a tradition soup? They throw away their sandwiches that their mother gave them and they, right? Okay, it's so hard to transmit this midah. I wanna contrast it. Yaakov Avinu, this is where we learn the midah of kimatz from him. He was a very generous person. My Zadie, who is who I learned this midah from, was an incredibly generous person. I remember when I learned in Beis Yaakov the halacha that you are only allowed to give max 20%, minimum 10% of your income to tzedakah. So a minimum of 10% of the money we make belongs to someone else. This is what we're going to do next week, tzedek. Okay? And a maximum of 20. You cannot give more than 20. And I knew my Zadie gave more than 20. So I came to my Zadie that day. I thought, I'm a big knocker. I'm 16 years old. I'm going to go tell my grandfather, who doesn't know, clearly, this halacha. Okay. I said, Zadie, I learned something today. And he said, what? I said, that you're not allowed to give more than 20% of your income to tzedakah. And this is what my Zadie said. My Zadie, who yelled at me for two toothpicks that I wasted and two tissues that I wasted. Okay, so this midah is not stinginess. This midah is the opposite of stinginess. My Zadie goes, huh. So I said, what does that mean? So he said, that's for people who think they're giving it away. That's for people who think they're giving it away. If you think you're giving away your money, then you can only give away 20%. But if you know, this is my portfolio in the next world, you could give away however much you want. There's no limit on how much money you would need to save. Nobody, the Chazal don't set cap, put a limit on our savings. My Zadie looked at tzedakah as his portfolio in the next world. That's what he said. That's for people who think that tzedakah is giving it away. Okay? So you could be very, very generous You will be very, very generous if you have this midah, because you realize that you're Hashem's gabbai for everything he has, for everything you have. Okay? This midah is something to, like, a little bit walk back into our houses and see. I always think this, like, let's say I'm not sure if I put a dryer sheet in the dryer, right? I'm not going to start searching around all the wet laundry and the thing. I just stick another one in. When do I regret that decision? When I run out of dryer sheets, okay? Right? So this is like a new way of walking into our homes and seeing, wait a minute, I'm going to take one thing at a time. I'm going to use one paper towel if I could get away with using it. If it needs two, I'll use two. But then it's fine. Hashem gave me to use two. But I'm not going to just, you know, like what kids do, right? And you're like, you could have probably just used one for that little tiny mess, you know what I'm saying? Or like when my daughter cleans up for me and she takes five clean towels to like wipe up one spill this big. And I'm like, okay, that's why I do towel loads every single day. Okay? So I don't know. I know Purim is in the air. Next week it's going to be Erev Purim, hopefully. If any of you can make it, I'll very much appreciate it. Okay? But Pesach is also in the air. Okay? And this mitzvah of Baal Tashlis and this mitzvah of Midah of Kimatz is very much related to Pesach and the message of the Matzah. Okay? What's the message of the Matzah? The message of the Matzah is, this is enough. This is enough. A little flour, a little water, and the absolute bare minimum of time is enough to sustain human life. And when a person appreciates that in matzah, when a person looks at the matzah and says, this is a message to me, that this is the bare minimum Hashem needs to give me, and while they're eating the matzah, what's wafting out of the oven? The smell of the meat, and the smell of the chicken, and the smell of the kugel, and the smell of the vegetables. Hashem gives us so much more than we need. He gives us so much more than we need. And kimutz is really the first step on the ladder to happiness. It really, really is. It's interesting. In America, everybody believes that we have the right to, right, that one of our eternal rights, or what is it called, inalienable rights, is that the term that Thomas Jefferson used, right, is that the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness sounds like the most exhausting endeavor in the world. I don't want to be in pursuit of something forever. I just want to get there. I want to be there. And the Midah of Kimatz tells us you're there. You're there. My Zaydi Sakamas Matseba was a couple months ago, and my uncle said something there that I didn't know about my Zaydi. Okay, there's many, many things I don't know about my Zaydi, even though I knew him for 42 years and lived in the same city as him for more than any of his grandchildren. More than any of them, I lived in the same city as him. And so I had the chance to learn from him. My uncle said that he opened a siddur that my grandmother has, that my Zaydi gave to my grandmother. What happens when you open a siddur? Why do you go to open your siddur? So first of all, it's a halacha that we're supposed to daven every day. We're supposed to pray every day. But when you go to your siddur, you need something. You need a shidduch. You need parnasa. You need financial sustenance. You need somebody to get married. You need somebody to have a child. When you open your siddur, you go. Usually the path to the siddur is a path laden with need and wants and thinking of the things I don't have today. And in the front of the city, my Zaydi wrote this inscription to my grandmother. He said, think if Hashem would take away everything you have right now and then suddenly give it right back to you, how happy you would be. Think if Hashem would take away everything you have right now and then suddenly give it back to you, how happy you would be. Right? When we open a siddur, we think about the things we don't have. I need this. I need this. I need this. I need this. And my Zaydi was telling my grandmother, go to Hashem. If not him, then who? You have to ask him for everything you need. But before you approach him, realize how much he is already giving to you. Everybody stop for a second and think about all the things going on in their body right now. Your lungs. And by the way, I like failed biology 101 in college, so I have no idea what's going on in your body right now, okay? But your spleen. What does a spleen do? I have no idea, but it works. And you know when I notice that if it stops working, then I get all upset and my stomach hurts or right, gallbladder. I never thought about my gallbladder once in my life. I'm just telling you, okay? My friend who just had gallbladder surgery, she thinks about her gallbladder, or she did until she had her surgery, okay? Now she's grateful even though she doesn't have one, right? Right? Your liver. Every part of your body is such a nes, and Hashem is just doing it for us, right? The ability to see. I always think about that. If we couldn't see the change in our life would be so drastic. The handicap would be so drastic. And yet we open our eyes. We open our eyes. Someone one time asked me, why are the brachos in negative? Why do we say, pokeach ivrim? Thank you for, you know, opening the eyes of the blind. Or shalo asani aved. Thank you for not making me a slave. Just say, thank you for making me free. Thank you for giving me eyesight. And I didn't know the answer. And then I went to Target. Target has a lot of good things in it, including the answer to her question. I was in Target shopping. Everybody could see there. Every person I saw, the cashier, the people shopping, everybody could see. I didn't notice it. I walked outside of Target, and there was somebody with a walking stick tapping the ground to see where they were going. And all of a sudden, I noticed my eyesight. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me. It's generally not from the positive that we notice what we have. It's generally from the negative, right? And so that's why the brachos are, think about a blind person. Think about what it would be like to be blind. Now thank Hashem for your eyesight. Think about what it would like to be a slave. Now thank Hashem for your freedom, right? That's how it goes. My Zadie was one of the happiest people because he had this midah down to a perfection. He understood everything Hashem gave me is a gift. A, it's not mine to waste. B, I value little things so I don't come to stealing. I don't come to take anything that isn't mine, anything. And C, I'm so happy all the time because I'm aware of all the... I remember one time someone told me, I was a little kid so I didn't know what to do with this information. I was like 14. And he said, don't bother Hashem for the little things. That's what he said to me. And I thought to myself, okay, I won't bother Hashem for the little things. What are the little things? My eyesight? My parents? My air conditioning? Like, what are the little things, right? Like, I didn't know what was little. A parking space? Like, what's little? Everything is big. Everything we need from Hashem, right? But the kimatz is the road to happiness because it makes you appreciate all those things when you realize that all these things are gift from Hashem. I remember my Zadie telling me a story that a lady called him that her air conditioning, my Zadie did not hold back. Just because we were lucky, because we were his grandchildren, we were almost as lucky as his children. His children got yelled at the most. Then his grandchildren got second most. Then if you were lucky to be in his Dalet Amos, you generally got yelled at, okay? And I remember at the end how we would like on purpose try to speak incorrect English in front of him so that we could get yelled at, okay? We on purpose, like I would say, Zadie, me and mommy are going somewhere because maybe in his like tired state he'd be like, mommy and I, and like yell at me. Like, but he didn't even. I was like, yell at me, Zadie. Okay, but he said a lady called him that her air conditioning broke. Okay, so my Zadie, we used to say, hey, Zadie, how did you survive Auschwitz for 37 months? He would say, Auschwitz, forget about Auschwitz. How did I survive before Auschwitz in Europe without any heat and any air conditioning and any shoes? I mean, the basics he did not have. I always tell my kids that when they open the cupboard, that Zadie didn't have a cupboard. There was no such thing as pretzels or noodles, or potato chips. It didn't happen. Shalach Manos, my Zadie told us, they got one piece of cake, and his mother carefully cut it in 7 parts, and they each savored their one little piece of taste of Shalach Manos. That was it. And he said it was the best day. They got a piece of cake, a piece of cake, and they enjoyed it. Like, contrast that. Like you said, it's generational. So this lady, Nebuch for her, I feel bad for her. She for sure remembers this day. She said to my Zadie, she is dying without air conditioning, okay? You do not even know what happened after that. But my Zadie probably almost killed her, okay? Because he didn't understand what that meant. Air conditioning is a luxury. It is a luxury. And you are not dying without it. And she for sure heard an earful from him that she did not forget. My Zadie, his yartzeit is now, right? The Hebrew date is Yud Aleph Adar. So Pesach, it's about 1 month later. So 5 weeks after he passed away, we made a Chalamite trip. Me, my family, we drove to Kalamazoo. And my in-law family from Chicago, they drove to Kalamazoo. And we met in the middle and we had a Chalamite trip together in Kalamazoo. My sister-in-law and I were walking out from the place to get food for the kids. It was Pesach. We couldn't get anything in the place we were in to get our $500 potato chips and our $700 lollipops, right? Then our cheese sticks, you know, all the basics that you have on Pesach. And we went out to the car to get it. And my sister-in-law said out loud, she goes, yeah, we have to get stuff for the kids because they're starving. And my 4-year-old said, my Zadie doesn't let us talk like that. She got it. I never tell my kids about the Holocaust. I never tell them about it. Not for sure, not the big ones, a little bit maybe. I don't need to. They just know that you don't open a fridge and say there's nothing to eat, and you don't open a closet and say there's nothing to wear. You don't talk like that. And she's four, and she corrected an adult. I don't know if that's chutzpahdik or not, but to her, that word is not a word we use. And she knew from my Zadie that we don't say the word starving. Okay? I wrote the contrast of his house and how he gave tzedakah. So you heard how he gave tzedakah, like limitlessly, right? He's still, my sister-in-law is jealous because right now 1950s styles ovens are in style, and my Zadie and my grandmother's 1950s style oven is still in the house. They never redid their house. They never redid it. It's all the exact same and kept up carefully, not a loose screw. Not a falling piece of woodwork or anything, everything taken care of. This mida, this kimut, is not about being stingy, it's about being very generous. And it's not about being hoarding. If something is garbage, you throw it away. But you throw it away carefully. I one time read in a book about gratitude that Rev Shimon Finkelman and Rev Zachariah Wallerstein wrote called Let It Rain. They told a story about Rav Shimon Schwab, who was also a survivor. Rav Shimon Schwab had used shirts. They were Shabbos shirts, and he had used them. And they were afraid. I mean, nothing lasts forever in this world, right? And he was done with the shirts, and his wife bought him new shirts. Listen to how he threw them away. He folded them up carefully, each one, and he thanked each one. Thank you for being my Shabbos shirt for so many years. Thank you for being my Shabbos shirt. And he put them nicely, and he wrapped them in a bag, and he sat them somewhere aside for a few weeks. And then he gently carried them down to the garbage in the bag, because he didn't want, it shouldn't be a bazillion, it shouldn't shame the shirts that kept him warm. And he put them carefully in the garbage, and he thanked them. Thank you. Thank you for servicing me. And he couldn't throw them away from the point that he decided they were garbage till the time that he put them in the garbage was a few weeks. That's how we should treat the things that Hashem gives us when they're garbage, to be careful, even as we throw it away, to wrap up bread. If it was on the floor, if it's going in the garbage. I remember my grandmother told us that they would kiss the bread when it fell on the floor in Europe. If it fell on the floor, they would kiss the bread and pick it up. They had a reverence for the things Hashem gave them. They had a reverence for the things Hashem gave them, right? And that's why kimut, it's about realizing that everything we have is from Hashem, not wasting any of it, not coming to touch anything that belongs to someone else without permission, without getting their approval, because that's gezel, that's stealing. And if it's a penny or $1 million, it doesn't matter. If it's not mine, it's not mine. That's how a tzaddik thinks. That's how Yaakov Avinu thought. That's how my Zadie thought. And it's the first step on the road to happiness. Because then you think about, before you ask Hashem for the things you want, you realize how much He gave you, how much He's giving you right now, that if He would take that away, then you'd really be in trouble. And it's a different way of approaching Hashem in tefillah, what my Zadie said, that if Hashem would take everything away you have right now and then give it right back to me, think how happy you'd be. Think how happy you'd be. And this is the way to get off the treadmill that's going nowhere in the pursuit of happiness, and just be happy with everything we have right now. Thank you so much for coming, and thank you so much for being a part of this series.